My audiobooks.ai presents Gladio's Hidden Arsenal, Cold War Stay-Behind Networks and Secret Power. On August 3, 1990, Italian Prime Minister Giulio Andreotti acknowledged a state secret buried across four decades of Cold War history. Speaking before a parliamentary commission examining terrorism, Andreotti confirmed the existence of Gladio, a clandestine stay-behind network equipped with hidden arms caches, dedicated radio transmitters, and hundreds of trained civilian and military operatives. Its stated purpose was to mount armed resistance if the Soviet Union ever invaded Italy. Yet the Soviet invasion never came, while Italy endured decades of political bombings and civil turmoil. Andreotti's disclosure forced an immediate question. Was Gladio prudent defensive planning, a profound democratic failure, or an enterprise entangled with Italy's darkest political violence? At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. The origin of Gladio lies in the brutal operational lessons of the Second World War. When German divisions swept across Western Europe in 1940, Allied planners discovered that effective resistance cannot be improvised under martial law. Finding recruits, establishing secure couriers, caching explosives, and setting up radio links under the eyes of an occupying army proved costly and slow. Planners resolved that if Europe faced another total invasion, the resistance apparatus would already be in place before foreign troops crossed the frontier. This strategic doctrine created the stay-behind network. A stay-behind organization is an undercover military structure prepared during peacetime. If enemy forces overrun national territory, its compartmentalized cells allow the front lines to pass over them. Once behind enemy lines, these operatives collect intelligence, report troop movements, conduct sabotage against bridges and rail depots, and coordinate with Allied forces outside the occupied zone. As tensions hardened between the Western powers and the Soviet Union in the late 1940s, military planners feared Red Army armor might push toward the English Channel and the Mediterranean. In response, Western European intelligence agencies established covert stay-behind programs, aided by the United States and Britain. In Italy, the network took its name from the gladius, the ancient Roman short sword. Managed by the Italian Military Intelligence Service, known as CIFAR, Gladio became the Italian branch of a broader European arrangement. While public debate often uses Gladio as a catch-all label for every stay-behind unit in Europe, each country maintained its own independent organization with distinct command chains. International coordination operated through specialized bodies linked to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, including the Allied Clandestine Committee and the Clandestine Planning Committee. These bodies oversaw doctrine, radio exercises, and joint planning. However, operational command remained firmly with national authorities rather than a single Allied general staff. This structure created an inherent democratic conflict. To protect operatives from exposure, governments hid these organizations from their own elected parliaments and citizens. An armed force created to defend democratic states was shielded entirely from democratic oversight. Operating a shadow military force in peacetime required strict compartmentalization. Gladio functioned on a cellular model, where members knew only their direct teammates and an assigned handler. If counterintelligence captured one operative, the break in the chain protected the rest of the network. Recruitment targeted active and reserve military personnel, alongside carefully vetted civilians who could blend into everyday life. Engineers, local transport workers, mechanics, and radio hobbyists joined the ranks, providing skills essential for survival and guerrilla warfare. Operatives trained in survival, demolitions, and intelligence gathering at secure installations, including a coastal base at Capo Marargiu on the island of Sardinia, while select personnel attended advanced courses with Allied intelligence services abroad. A stay-behind network cannot depend on normal logistics once an invasion begins. To ensure readiness, Italian intelligence, with technical assistance from the United States, established an extensive network of buried supply caches across the country. In the late 1950s and 1960s, teams buried hundreds of sealed containers in remote forests, mountainous terrain, and rural properties. These underground caches held rifles, handguns, ammunition, plastic explosives, hand grenades, and survival rations. The heaviest concentration lay across northeastern Italy, guarding the border regions of Friuli Venezia Giulia, which planners considered the most likely invasion corridor for Warsaw Pact forces. To link these isolated cells with commanders abroad, Gladio relied on encrypted radio transmitters capable of sending signals across long distances to Allied listening posts outside occupied territory. These communications links meant that even if national headquarters fell, field units could direct Allied air operations and receive instructions. Andreotti's subsequent disclosures confirmed that hundreds of civilian volunteers and military officers maintained these hidden assets across decades of Cold War readiness. These documented preparations prove the intended military mission of territorial defense. Yet distributing hundreds of hidden weapon caches across a country on the edge of ideological conflict introduced grave domestic risks. The controversy surrounding Gladio stems from the violent era in which it remained hidden. From the late 1960s through the early 1980s, Italy experienced the Years of Lead, a prolonged period of political bombings, assassinations, and kidnappings carried out by both far-left and far-right extremists. High-profile bombings targeted public spaces, including the 1969 Piazza Fontana massacre in Milan and the August 1980 bombing of the Bologna railway station, which killed 85 people. These atrocities gave rise to the concept of the strategy of tension, the premise that violent acts were orchestrated or protected by elements within the state to terrorize citizens, discredit the political left, and build support for an authoritarian government. In the 1990s, critics and researchers, notably Swiss author Daniele Ganser, argued that Gladio functioned as an instrument of domestic counter-subversion. They alleged that the stay-behind organization and its intelligence handlers colluded with neo-fascist militants, provided access to weapons caches, and protected terrorists from arrest. The investigation that exposed Gladio began with this exact suspicion. Venetian magistrate Felice Cassone, investigating the 1972 Patiano car bombing that killed three Carabinieri officers, discovered that the explosive used came from an underground military cache. His search for the origins of that material led directly into the classified archives of Italy's military intelligence service. Evaluating these explosive claims requires separating confirmed judicial findings from organizational reality. Italian judicial records confirm that neo-fascist militants executed attacks such as Patiano and Bologna, while senior intelligence officers faced conviction for obstructing investigations and fabricating evidence to misdirect investigators away from right-wing suspects. Proving institutional command by Gladio requires different evidence. Historian Leopoldo Nuti examined the extensive documentation declassified for Italian parliamentary commissions. Nuti found that the available archival records do not justify concluding that Gladio conducted illegal operations or terrorist acts during the late 1960s and 1970s. The historical record demonstrates a crucial distinction. Individual officers and related intelligence agencies repeatedly crossed legal boundaries, and missing records leave lingering questions. The available evidence confirms Gladio as a secret defensive contingency against foreign invasion far more clearly than it proves claims of an organized apparatus commanding domestic terror. When Andreotti delivered a detailed report to the Parliamentary Commission in October 1990, his revelations destabilized political establishments across Western Europe. Gladio was not an isolated Italian experiment. It was one part of a continent-wide defense framework. In the months following the Italian admission, governments across Western Europe faced inquiries into their own covert preparations. Officials in Belgium, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, and Greece confirmed the existence of national stay-behind units operating under various codenames. The political impact varied according to national institutions. In Belgium, public trust had already been shaken by unsolved retail store shootings known as the Brabant massacres. When the defense minister acknowledged a clandestine military unit, it prompted an immediate parliamentary inquiry into state security services. In Germany, authorities located and dismantled concealed arms depots, while French officials stated active units had already been disbanded. A significant parallel emerged outside the North Atlantic Alliance. In neutral Switzerland, a 1990 parliamentary investigation exposed Project 26, a covert military unit organized within the Swiss Defense Department. Operating without parliamentary approval or the knowledge of the full federal cabinet, the Swiss network prepared guerrilla resistance against potential foreign occupation. The Swiss case proved that stay-behind planning was an accepted Cold War military doctrine, not simply an Allied treaty mandate. The exposure prompted international condemnation. In November 1990, the European Parliament passed a resolution censuring clandestine military and paramilitary networks operating without democratic supervision. The resolution questioned the role of foreign military intelligence services, called for full judicial clarification of links between state services and political violence, and demanded the dismantling of all covert stay-behind structures. The European Parliament's resolution reflected broad political alarm rather than a definitive judicial verdict. While some nations conducted rigorous public inquiries, others quietly shuttered their programs. The resulting investigations revealed substantial operational history, but national variations in oversight prevented a uniform European accounting of how these networks were managed. Looking across the full scope of the evidence, the fundamental tension of the stay-behind networks becomes clear. Preparing resistance infrastructure on sovereign territory against an invading adversary is standard military defense. Under international law, including Article 2, Paragraph 4 of the United Nations Charter, preparing territorial defense does not constitute an unlawful threat or use of force against another state. The real crisis of Gladio is constitutional and political. Operational effectiveness in guerrilla warfare relies on secrecy. Exposing operative rosters or cache coordinates compromises an underground network before an occupation begins. However, protecting tactical details is distinct from concealing an entire armed command from constitutional authorities. In Italy and several other European states, defense and intelligence chiefs maintained armed networks for decades without informing the prime ministers, cabinet members, or parliamentary committees responsible for military authority. When an armed network answers only to a closed circle of intelligence officers, democratic governance loses control of its own instruments of force. This lack of supervision created acute problems of national sovereignty. Stay-behind organizations were established in partnership with foreign intelligence agencies, primarily the Central Intelligence Agency and British Intelligence. This cooperation raised fundamental questions of loyalty. If a domestic political crisis erupted, would these clandestine cells answer to their own elected governments or to the foreign partners who provided funding, training, and strategic doctrine? This ambiguity proved dangerous because the line between defending against foreign invasion and monitoring internal political dissent easily blurred. During the Cold War, Italian military intelligence viewed domestic communism as an existential threat aligned with Soviet power. In that polarized climate, a clandestine network built to resist foreign invaders existed within an intelligence culture that viewed internal political opposition as an enemy to be countered. Gladio was both a documented military contingency plan and a profound political scandal over state secrecy. Its defensive rationale explains why it was built, while its unaccountable structure explains why it sparked widespread outrage. Yet neither its stated defensive mission nor the scandal of its concealment proves that the organization directed domestic terror. The enduring lesson of Gladio is that when a democracy creates secret instruments to defend itself against external catastrophe, the greatest danger lies in exempting those instruments from democratic accountability. As you reflect on this Cold War chapter, consider how modern societies balance legitimate intelligence secrets with the oversight required to keep state power answerable to the people. Thanks for watching. To create your own audiobooks from your prompts and documents, visit myaudiobooks.ai. Subscribe for more.